We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus USA.
We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Author's Corner segment, and this is a funny interview. It's kind of funny. I like it when I get the opportunity to like chat with people like Stone Cold or different people and bring up the wrestling business. But this one here, we'll have a nice back and forth. Both of us are wrestlers. It's been a year since I've stepped back in the square circle, even though last year I was working with one of my clients and I was training him on his persona. And anytime you get back in the ring, you never want to give it up. It's a sport. It's either you have to stay completely away from it, or, and thank goodness I have other entertainment to keep me going so I don't get beat up and continue. So I'm excited to welcome the program. And this is Ryan Alvarez, author of WWE Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, 100 Things Books. I never thought there'd be, I've been working with Triumph for about X amount of years, Brian. I never thought there'd be 100 Things WWE. So this is, when I first started doing these interviews about 6-7 years ago with Triumph, I never thought there'd be 100 things for WWE. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good, good. So, I mean, that surprised you when they came to you with this opportunity? Like thinking about 100 things WWE when you kind of look at most of the books are sports. You know, we're sports, there's WWE sports entertainment, but it's a different thing to tackle, isn't it? For that,
they sent me a bunch of the books that they'd already done. They're sports books, they're books about entertainment. One of the ones they sent me was 100 Things That Pearl Jam Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So I looked at the books they sent me and I thought, I can easily find 100 Things WWE Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And so I agreed to do the book, and the first thing they told me to do was make a list, and I actually made a list of about 105.
Okay.
But there weren't a ton more and there weren't a ton less. So it was actually pretty much perfect when going through everything that I wanted to put in there, almost exactly 100 things.
Why you, Brian? Because you're a pro wrestler. You'd think it would have been a journalist that would write this book.
Well, I've been doing journalism since 1995. So okay. We run the Wrestling Observer website. I've been doing radio since 1998. I already wrote The Death of WCW, which came out in 2005, and then we did a 10-year anniversary edition that came out in 2014, and that book sold 85,000 copies. So I've been writing forever in addition to everything else, so I presume that's why they came to me.
Okay, so you were part of the Wrestling Observer at a certain point in time where the expansion was happening, because I remember reading the sheets when I would go with Bert Prentice to the post office in Arkansas to read the sheets and see what was going on with the Observer. So
Dave's been doing the Observer since 83. I was doing Figure Four Weekly in 1995, and we went online in 2005, and then Dave came online with us in 2008. So it's a combo website now. We got Dave on there. We do audio shows. He still puts out the Observer. So there's tons of stuff up at WrestlingObserver.com.
But remember the sheets before? You didn't think we'd talk about this, but remember the sheets before where it was only really for the boys in a lot of ways and certain smart marks, and not everyone had the sheets.
Yes. Everything is completely different now that there's an internet.
I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I was going Bert Prentice. It was probably 1995. We would go to the post office and say, okay, I got the sheets. And I saw my first write-up when I went and did a shot in USWA and had to read the report. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is the thing. But the business has totally changed and unbelievable. So let's go to 100 Things WWE Fans Should Know. And I have the book on my hands, but I did not pick certain things, but I'm going to go and try to look at specifically enough kind of connections I have to what the WWF days and see if they're in there. for sure. Let's go with specifically how, you know, you take the WWE and also the WWF and put it together at 100 things. Do you have certain memories that you said, you know what, I got to put these in there related to before the name the WWE?
Well, I mean, the first thing I did was I just decided I've got to talk about certain people. And so if I thought that somebody was like for sure a Hall of Famer, they go in the book. So okay. Vince McMahon, Andre the Giant, Shawn Michaels, you know, all of these guys, they're all in the book. And then I looked at events. Like if something is an event that if you are getting into WWE, you've got to know about the Montreal Screwjob.
Yes.
You've got to know about WrestleMania 1. You got to know about WrestleMania 3. So I did all of those things. So, and then obviously, you know, there's things to do. And so if you're a wrestling fan, if you're a fan of WWE, you should go to at least one WrestleMania. You should go to a house show. You should sit front row.
Yes.
So I went through all of those things and I got 95 pretty quickly. And then, you know, there were five left that I had to do at the last minute. I basically left five slots open in case I finished the book and realized I missed something important. So the last five are just, you know, there's wrestling outside WWE, the Intercontinental title, things like that. But it's mostly events, people, and moments in wrestling.
Yeah, I'm flipping through, and it's just interesting. It goes into variety, and it's definitely not in a – it's an order based on how you ranked it, but it's not an order based on chronological order because of the fact of
– no.
It's based on what you thought in that top 100. To have to put it to from 1 to 100, was that hard for you to say, really, this
well,
is going to –
well, I mean, I hate lists because lists are subjective, but – I felt that the first 20 are largely in order. Like the first thing you need to know about WWE is Vince McMahon. I mean, he is WWE, so he's got to be number one. And so the first 20 are they're in somewhat of an order of importance. But after 20, it's just like, okay, here's the rest of the 80. Those are not necessarily ranked in order. So, you know, people might say, oh, you know, why is Kurt Angle above Triple H or whatever. I don't even know if he is, but you know, people yeah. want to argue that stuff. I mean, it's a waste of time. From 20 through 100, there's like no, there's a vague order, but there's not really an order. But the first 20, I feel, are the 20 most important things largely in order.
I gotcha. Brian, so what do you think of the business today? You're in the business, you write in the business, you're a journalist in the business. Is it in the right direction or the wrong direction? You know, we're at one of the hottest peaks, and we always go through this when the economy is hot, and then when the wrestling business always goes down when the economy is not. This peak compared to other runs in the pro wrestling industry, are you happy about it? That's just a point having an expert like yourself as a journalist on this, in your take.
Well, I think that right now, as far as like the quality of professional wrestling, there's never been a better time. So if you just like pro wrestling and it doesn't have to be WWE, there are so many different promotions that you can watch. There's so many different styles. It's so easy with the internet. You can watch New Japan. You can watch MLW. You can watch ROH. You can watch AEW, NXT. If you love wrestling, there's no better time to be a fan. If you're a WWE fan, I mean, WWE is, I mean, it's, they're making a lot of money, but they're losing viewership in surprising numbers. It's as unpopular as it's ever been, which is ironic because I just wrote a book about it. I did a book signing in Seattle, and we had probably 24 people show up or so. And I asked everybody, how many of you watch Raw and SmackDown? And there was one person that raised their hand. This is a book signing for a book about WWE. One person raised their hand watching Raw and SmackDown. The viewership of Raw, I mean, the third hour did 2 million viewers. During the Monday Night Wars, both shows combined sometimes did 12 million viewers. So there are so fewer people watching wrestling today, watching WWE. It's almost the viewership of where they were when they were in the early 90s, which was their worst period ever. So from that perspective, I mean, they're going in what clearly seems to be an unpopular direction. But again, there's so many other things that you can watch that if you're a wrestling fan, you don't have to watch Raw and SmackDown. There's a million other things you can watch, including their third brand, their NXT.
I'm, you know, it's just, and I agree with you. And it's very, and the business is different, but I don't know, in so many aspects, where it's going. And I think it's, as a wrestling fan, but the WWE product, they don't have any reason. There's not huge competition, even though there's AEW. They don't have any huge competition they really have to worry about, because AEW's product is not really the product of WWE. It will never be, meaning it's great for pro wrestling fans, but it's not sports entertainment. There's only really one sports entertainment. And this is my take, in that if they continue to bring the iconic people back, like The Rock or Stone Cold, they're always going to get the casual wrestling fan that spends lots of money, that's not a pro wrestling fan, but a WWE fan, that will always keep them on top. I don't see them ever relinquishing that spot. What is your thought?
I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, if it happens, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I mean, AEW debuted and the hardcore fans love it, but, you know, they did 1.2 million, 1.4 million viewers the first week and 1.1 million viewers the second week. Raw, their third hour that does the worst is, you know, around 2 million viewers. So they're half of what Raw is. But it's hard to say. I mean, Raw's losing their audience at a pretty rapid clip. And if there's another promotion that puts out a product that people can get behind, I mean, it is possible that down the road, AEW could do better numbers than Raw. It doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon. I don't think it's impossible. I wouldn't have said this, you know, 5 years ago, but, you know, the Raw teenage audience, their young audience, I mean, they've just left in droves. I mean, their teenage audience was down 44% over 3 years, which is a remarkable number. Their biggest audience right now is males over 50. And the AEW numbers on Wednesday, I mean, their 18 to 49 numbers are double what WWE is doing. So AEW is attracting a younger viewer, and the younger viewers are what blew up the Monday Night Wars in the 90s. So if they can continue to attract young viewers and Raw continues to run them off, AEW could beat them.
Yeah, I mean, they could, but we'll see. And it'll be interesting.
It's not imminent.
You know, so we will see. And it's a situation that I'm, you know what I was saying, we will see what happens. And we'll go from there, you know. And I think it's a situation where I don't know. What about the product of AEW? I think the product's great, but I think it's really a mixture. And I can't believe we're talking about this on the 100 Things, but I think you like this background discussion. I think it's more like a mixture of ECW and WCW and a little bit of Japan combined, this product.
Yes.
And this really speaks to the smart marks, but I don't know if it speaks to the people that are going to spend millions and millions of dollars of merchandise and things ever to take it to the level of where the WWE is taking it. I think it's, but again, why is that product only marketing to one area? Why do you think that they don't want to go into some of the others? They want to be kind of like the days of when it was WWF and WCW, where WWF was a totally different product than WCW. Is that, you think?
Well, what they're trying to do is they recognize what has driven off fans from WWE. I mean, there are things about WWE that fans really don't like, even though it's very successful. People don't like the scripted interviews. They don't like that the people they want to see on top are pushed down on the car. It took forever for them to push Daniel Bryan. You know, they don't like seeing guys like Rusev in these storylines when someone else is sleeping with his wife. And so AEW's whole thing is, well, we're not going to do that stuff. We're not going to have interviews. We're not going to have writers. We're not going to have all of those things. So if it's true, that's why people don't watch WWE.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Then AEW doing the opposite will help them grow. If it's not true, then they will be stuck where they are right now for the foreseeable future. But I mean, right out of the gate, they've got national television. They're on TNT, which is actually in more homes than the USA Network, so they've already got an advantage there. They've got guys like Chris Jericho, and you know, they could hire other guys if they leave WWE. There's more opportunity for them than pretty much any other number two since WCW, actually. So we'll see if they can get wrestling fans to watch their product instead of WWE.
Yeah, so for sure. And we'll find out. And in the book, in a lot of ways, you're seeing this maturation process of where wrestling has changed from the days of pro wrestling or in the early days of WWE to now today. And what does the WWE need to do, Brian, to bring it back to its peak? To bring it back to the pinnacle, what do you think they need to do?
Well, honestly, and I know some WWE fans won't want to hear this, but Vince McMahon has got to get out of his own way. He's got to go. I mean, he's 74 years old now, and he's a 74-year-old man who's trying to write a program for teenagers and young adults. And if you look at the ratings, he's not connecting with them at all. His biggest audience, like I said, is over 50, and he doesn't have the best memory, and so he writes these storylines, and then he forgets what he wrote, and then he writes a totally different storyline the next week, and it doesn't make any sense, and it frustrates people. And he's having everybody read these scripted promos, which, you know, clearly is not something that he used to do back when it was successful. There's just a lot of things that, quite frankly, he's just too old right now, and he needs a younger person in there who understands wrestling that can go in there and try to turn this thing around. But as long as he's there, I don't see this thing turning around.
And I agree with you, but I think also Vince is a lot of ways he's not willing to change what he does because he thinks it'll always work. And
exactly.
But again, we're in the biggest phase ever with the indies, the best it's ever been, if you call them indies, and we're about to see a cornerstone change. I just don't believe that the business, as I just kind of formatted what AEW's like, is going to hit the mainstream where it becomes a mainstream phenomenon like the Attitude Era, like the 80s. And that's where I think that the AEW will fall short.
Well, you may be right. I mean, the number one thing about the 90s was it wasn't about who had the better wrestling. It was about who had the bigger stars. And that's all that wrestling is. And so if AEW presents something where the fans watching at home don't see these guys as stars, it's not going to make it. But if they can find a way to create stars more effectively than WWE, then they can win. I don't know if they can do that. I mean, it's been 2 weeks. So, I mean, we'll see 6 months, a year down the road. But, I mean, their television tapings, you know, the first three TVs they've done, they've sold them out. They're selling a ton of tickets. They're doing good numbers on TV. I mean, they're not at WWE's level, but if they can create stars out of these young guys, they can do something. That's really the end of the story. Absolutely. They got to create stars.
Absolutely. And that's, again, the whole process and what we continue to see. And I'm excited to see where it goes. And I'm not a fan. And that's the weirdest thing is when I left the business, I told you it's like an addiction. I brought this up to a former friend of mine. I lost a good friend that was my manager down south, Paul Adams, that passed away this weekend. I don't know if you're familiar with Paul. Paul was a mainstay in the Nashville area as a manager and stuff like that, and managed to Burt's stuff in Music City and also at Ozark Mountain. And he passed away. And Justin and I said, it's an addiction. If you leave the business, you have to leave it completely, or it's going to take you back in again, because there's no way of stopping. You have to kind of ignore it. But as an analyst, I'm giving you this take in history. The only way for it to change is that. And so what has been the feedback of your book in your 100 things? How many of the fans, they must love it and kind of are reminiscing the times before and how wrestling could be back this way in the WWE, right? In this
book. Yeah, we got a lot of good feedback. I mean, even people that aren't watching WWE today, I mean, the book covers everything. It covers all of the hottest periods from the Monday Night Wars, and for older fans, Bruno Sammartino, Captain Lou Albano, WrestleMania 1. I mean, it's really like a history book of WWE. It's just set up as 100 things. But I mean, every major moment in WWE history, dating all the way back to its formation in 1963, it's all in there. So, I mean, if you are a WWE fan, or if you've been a WWE fan, I think you'll really like the book.
Okay. All right. So again, best place we can find information on you, purchase your book, and learn more about you, Brian. Where can we go?
You can go to Amazon.com for the book. It's in a lot of bookstores as well. 100 things WWE fans should know and do before they die. And for more with me, you can go to WrestlingObserver.com. And we do shows every day. We got a YouTube channel. We got all sorts of great stuff. So WrestlingObserver.com.
So, Brian, I'm shocked. Whenever you're in Pittsburgh, we got that talk and stuff. I didn't know all these things have happened with Observer. Congrats with the continued growth of it. And again, that just proves I've been out of the business and where it's going. But again, it always calls me, especially when I see guys working that don't look as good as me and I'm 46. I'm like, come on now, I can get back in the ring today. And I'm a former 7-footer, meaning I played a 7-footer on TV. So I could be there someday again. We'll see. And best of luck and continued success in what you're doing, and good luck with the book. And it's very interesting you wrote this book, and yet you want the WWE to change. I'm sure Vince McMahon, you have to go ahead and give him a call at one point and say, Vince, come on now, you got to make a change, right?
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd do it.
You know, Sean Stasiak, one of my clients, he has his cell phone. Text him tomorrow. Say, come on, Vince, make that change. You never know. So,
not over till it's over.
Exactly. It's all about every business. And if he's making money, when he stops making money, that's when things will change. So I appreciate you calling, Brian. Best of luck. And someday I'm sure our paths will cross. Who knows if I'll be back in the wrestling ring someday. All right, take care.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. You listen to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Network's School Choice Show. And I'm excited to welcome to the program school choice advocate, author, and much, much more, Ed Temple. Ed, how are you? I know you have an exciting guest for us today. We're live, which is an interesting process. We've done that with Full Education Hour, but not with the School Choice Show. So I know you're excited.
Oh, for sure. This is Charles is runs a, is a founder and creator of one of the, far as I'm concerned, maybe the most important news site in the country right now, because I've noticed for me, I used to like to go to Drudge Report, and it's gone off the deep end. So now I'm left with Zenith News to get a good feel for what's going on in the country. And he's able to put stories together with great titles and so on, and kind of feeds into the what the heck is wrong with this country. You know, it hits all the good news, and it's powerful. And the people that follow me tend to follow, or people that follow him are followers of myself. Or quite a few of them overlap, and I appreciate that too. So Charles, I actually got a hold in touch with him months ago when I was on vacation because. I said, you know, I would love to talk to you about school choice. And he was actually kind enough to to put an article about the fact that I have a school choice book and so on his news site. And I was it's one of my biggest moments of my early career here. So I thoroughly appreciated that as well. So without much more ado, Charles.
Well, thank you very much, Ed, for inviting me on the show, and Neil taking such a great part in educating America about the problems that we're having. Mm-hmm. Exactly as you noted, Drudge Report was also my impetus for creating Zenith News. I was so sickened by the turn that Matt Drudge made, not only in the quality of the coverage that he involved himself with, but as well the orientation of the subject matter, that I decided America needs something better. And so at the sprite young age of 73, wow. I charged off on my own, and I was guided by his hand virtually every step of the way, from getting the name Zenith News, which was quite an accident all by itself, to being able to assemble the cast of characters that I've been able to do by virtue of his help. And so I feel like I'm a very fortunate guy.
Hmm. Just can you expound on that a little bit? We just recently had Misty Callahan on the show, and she's a C.S. Lewis fellow. And I know that you are involved with different Christian organizations. Am I right?
Yes. In fact, several years ago, I formed my own church called Pray For Us that went gangbusters for almost a decade. And then some health issues arose, and I was unable to continue with that. And after that subsided, I then started Zenith News because I felt the calling was there. It was much more important because there's so many churches out there,
right.
and people need news. They're full of the Spirit. They just need news to act on. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we put together a stream of the most important pro-America or MAGA websites that we could into one news queue. And I figured out how to put that news queue onto different social media. For example, the news queue that you see on Twitter, it with slight variations as to subject matter and some language, you can also find on Facebook on several accounts, Instagram, and so forth. So it's sort of like a Zenith News is a one size fits all. And the way that it's worked out has been very, very fortunate for us.
When you write things, Charles, you've noticed one of the areas that is not being covered enough, I think, in the mainstream is education. I think a lot of times it's either being hidden or there's other agendas when they want to report what's going on, especially in K-12 schools. Why do you think that is?
I think that the conservatives are so involved with themselves and so they have such haughty feelings about their importance and their role in life that looking at teaching school is something that they do with great disdain. The old adage that people who can't do anything at a job end up teaching. Well, that adage has almost destroyed America.
Right.
And that adage is what's caused the vacuum of power in the teaching profession that now sees virtually every teaching job in the United States subject to public sector labor union rules and regulations and a infiltration of communist cadre into our teaching institutions. So we need to get off of our haughty high spot and get down in the ditches, down in the mud, down in the gravel, and fight toe-to-toe, or we're going to lose the whole country.
Right.
Yeah. Can you, a while back, you were giving colorful hints to what you were asking me what I thought the problem with schools were. This was all the way back in June. And you said you were saying that it rooted back with way back when. And can you talk about when you think the the school's downfall started and where we are now?
I think the school's downfall started in the 60s with the Flower Generation. And if you take a look at John Lennon's song, Imagine, there's no country to live and die for, and no religion too. All the flower child stuff and the free sex stuff, it all started in the 60s.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Sudden, the communists no longer became the people who we fought with the utmost vigor, but we started to embrace them. And the end result is that they infiltrated our school system. They have created, actually, in my opinion, a new religion called globalism. It's spawned virtually alone from this teaching profession. If you go back to Saul Alinsky, if you go back to even Lenin, they're all teachers. They were all educators in their own way. They weren't business people. They couldn't turn a profit if they tried. And so they've nevertheless been able to parlay their beliefs in collectivism so that they have assumed the power, and using that power are indoctrinating our children generation after generation to hate America, hate their sex, hate their parents, hate their religion. They're full of hate. I don't think there's any room left for anything else in them.
I think what you have said, it would almost, you know, I might have thought you were crazy if I weren't a teacher. So what you're saying is 100% accurate. This is what's going on. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to say who it is, but somebody close to me was a delegate to the one of the teachers' unions, a very large one, and they would go to these conventions as a delegate, and they would hand out their, their union Bible, and everything in it was literally from Glenn Beck's Project 21 from the United Nations. So, and it read just like the Communist Manifesto. We're talking everything from the globalism to the takeover of, you know, the government takeover. Everything is, it sounds like a worst nightmare conspiracy, and it's exactly what's going on. It's scary. I mean, it's almost 1984, happening right now. And you wouldn't believe it. You would have to think there was a Holy Land Foundation court case that proved that all these groups were joined together. Well, wait a minute. There was.
There was. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'd like to add something else into the mix. I'm a longtime union member myself. I was first in a union when I was 18 years of age. It was the United Steelworkers of America. And I make a very big separation, a cleavage, in fact, between public sector labor unions and private sector labor unions. I fully believe, and I will fight for private sector labor unions, the right of a working man to organize and fight the employer who has one interest and aim, and that's to maximize his profit at the cost of the employees. But that's a whole universe apart and aside from public sector labor unions. Public sector labor unions are employed by themselves. They work for themselves. And so to allow a public sector employee to make a political contribution is absolutely the stupidest thing that's ever
happened. And Charles, it just really taints all the teachers, because now you're literally in charge of electing a president and all the different offices, and you're forced being part of a teachers union to go with what the majority wants to continue to keep unions strong and have power and not allow allow power where you shouldn't expect, right? I mean, so that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem we're dealing with.
Well, the reason that reason was very, very important up until the past Supreme Court term, and during which there was a decision that no public sector labor union can force anyone to pay dues for things that traditionally have been union activities. And so the vast number of labor union problems have been overcome from a public sector point of view. Nevertheless, it's going to take a huge amount of time to overcome the cumulative effect of decades of malfunctioning, malfeasance, and malpropism, is in my humble opinion. So I think that we need to fight. Now is the time that we need to fight. We need to go on to the campuses. We need to go on to the websites where teachers are. And we need to keep telling them the Supreme Court is behind you. You no longer have to kowtow to a public sector labor union. Even if you want to, you don't have to. So I think that we now have tools that just a few months ago we didn't have. And I believe that the victory is on the horizon.
Okay.
No doubt. There's definitely the media has lost so much credibility, at least the cable ABC or the what do you want to call it? The alphabet soup media and the cable media. And unfortunately, as of recently, even Fox has kind of gone off the deep end a little bit. But luckily, we have enough good sources that we can find a place to find truth still. So there is some hope in that way. Just hopefully one day there's some schools of journalism, you know, maybe besides the Liberty University. You know, Liberty University does a great job, but, you know, we need some more, you know, universities and schools, and which is what brings us back to school choice. So, Charles, what do you think about school choice? We've had the last guest we just had, we're getting ready to have a guest that's a huge charter school guy that's going to say he's for charters, but not for vouchers. The last Alex Merced, libertarian, said he was not for vouchers, not because he doesn't want school choice, but just because the vouchers comes with strings attached. And so he would rather see it with tax breaks instead of vouchers or some other form of for those that want school choice. He wants a school choice, just not in the form of a voucher. What's your take on that?
I think you're not going to like my answer.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to like my answer.
May not.
I personally feel, based upon the Constitution of the United States, the government has absolutely no role in educating children.
Right.
I like that answer, actually.
And if you start with that very simple basis, use it as a fulcrum to leverage any other argument, you'll see that school choice, while it's very laudable, is simply another annoyance on the scheme of annoyances by public education that shouldn't exist. People should not be sending their kids to any school that is funded by government, state, local, or federal. Now, that's my humble opinion. But now,
how can that change? How can we change that? Again, that's you're looking at a very powerful union that will never allow that to happen.
Well, I think we have to ignore the media. And I think the media, you know, CNN just let 4,200 people off. There is a prediction that 90% of the liberal arts colleges will be bankrupt in the next 10 years. Why? Because liberal parents aren't having kids, because it's not the right thing to do to have sex for the purpose of propagation. And so they're like the Shakers are all going to die off anyway. And that's the truth. You can take that to the bank. You can go look that up in statistics. It's happening. It's happening now. We're literally seeing the scourge of liberalism falling apart at the seams, because the very policies that they have input are making them fail and die off. But in strict answer to your question, Neil, I believe that the old time parent involvement and teacher parent associations and so forth, which now is just poo-pooed by the labor unions, will make a resurgence once the number of liberal kids and parents start dropping like flies. It's happening. There's so much proof of this. And so I see a very bright horizon for the United States. I see these people in their stupidity dying off, which is the ultimate revenge, don't you think? And so with that sort of an outlook, I think there's going to be good times ahead for all of us.
Well, I know one thing, that those, for example, that live in California that are tired of the taxes, the problem with that is they come to move into states like Texas, and now Texas, you know, is very close to becoming a blue state, you know. So this is where the danger is. There has to be, at some level, unless we educate people on the difference or why Marxism and, you know, communism and socialism and those types of willy-nilly do whatever you want, let the government control your life, you know, the talented 10th mentality, unless we get this out of people's heads, you know, it's just right now we have an unthinking population. The kids, you know, if they want to do math, they type in, they take a picture of the math problem and the answer pops up on their phone. There's very little critical thinking anymore.
Right.
We're becoming test takers.
I think if you look at the facts and the circumstances in Texas, the actual ones that exist, I think you'll find that the real truth lies somewhere between the people moving from the liberal states to Texas and interrupting their traditional way of life and what is the real reality. And the real reality is that the Democrat Party in Texas has taken over the rural areas, has packed the voter rolls with illegal aliens and dead people, and is outvoting the live registered voters. I don't think that this old saw of California liberals coming down and screwing up Texas is the truth. And I've read facts and I've seen reports that support this belief. I think if you get into the middle of the details, the middle of the details will show you that you really have to put in a suspect status virtually everything that you think is true, including old saws like the Californians are moving to Texas and screwing up the place. It's the illegal aliens and the dead people the Democrats are putting on the voter rolls. That's what's screwing up Texas. Not only Texas, but the rest of the country. And so if you want to attack foundations, you've got to go to the lowest level of foundation, because it's all a big lie. There's nothing that's going on in mainstream media that is not a big lie. And so anything they tell you, you have to say, first and foremost, what you just said is a lie. And you can't be afraid to tell them to their face that they're damn liars. And right. So when you start pushing yourself to that position, that's right. when you start winning.
Exactly. And that's the problem, that you make changes in states based on specifically enough a different demographic developing that has been taught and told that this is the best way to do things. And Charles, what can we do in our schools, especially in social studies classes, to educate people more of the dangers of socialism and communism?
Well, what we might do is make another, I didn't know, for example, that I would be confronted with this Supreme Court case, because I hadn't thought my positions through completely. But what we might do is we might make a how-to video and get a copy of that Supreme Court decision and make our own rules for radicals. Our radicals are the conservative, pro-America, faithful, family-oriented teachers that want to preserve our way of life, and give them a roadmap of how to fight the labor unions. And it's so easy now to do. We can harass and harangue the labor unions to the point they want to pull out their hair after the Supreme Court decision that came down and stopped collectivism.
Fair enough. So where do you want this Zenith News, where do you want that to go?
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Well, it's very, very, very difficult to express to you the complexities that are involved in Zenith News. It's like a whiz bang old machine from the 30s or the 40s. You know, you turn one wheel on one side and another wheel on the other side starts whipping around. There's a lot of bells and whistles in it to deliver the stream of news and do so without repetition and without duplication of subject matter, making sure that we vet all the articles. And even after you vet all the articles, we find nowadays that some of the formerly reputable news sources are just reposting AP News or UPI News.
Right.
Or polls from Washington Post, heaven forbid. Hmm. So it takes a very vigilant eye to do it. And so we want to start amassing some capital to help us grow. To this point, I've self-funded the entire project, and it's now got several million articles in its database. We have on a monthly basis about 8 million hits on Twitter alone.
Wow.
And that's a lot of hits for a little
right
website. And we need to amass some people who will provide some support, because as you said, Ed, there's not many of us around to try to present both sides of every news situation.
Right.
And we have more followers on Twitter than many of the mainstream media sites do. I know it's hard to believe, but we do. And the reason is because people find us a reputable source of news, and they're faithful.
Oh, no question. I just went there. I've been going there time in and time again, and it's like you said, and I usually go through Twitter to get there. So you're always posting some pretty cool articles, and obviously articles that people, you know, a lot of them maybe not getting all the attention they need to get. So,
right.
Which is good.
Well, Ed, I think, do you have your final school choice question to ask Charles? Because we're getting close to closing out today, and very interesting. The live look forward to seeing the comments that come and pop out later on regarding this interview.
Yeah, just you know, what if you're if you were voting for a politician, you know, and the politician said, hey, you know, what do we need to do to get these kids that are in dangerous or academically failing schools, to get the kids able to go to to a better school? What would you tell them the solution is?
Well, I would tell them the solution would be to band together in a radical group that has no qualms about openly confronting teachers' union members and mm-hmm. leaders, and doing so in a most vociferous and forceful manner. And that's the key to success, because they want people to believe that they have to be parental and judicious.
Mm.
And they're radical people themselves, and the only thing they understand is when you push back against them. I also wanted to say that for people who want to find out how to succeed in some of these social media sites, I'm very, very conservative. I don't know of anybody any more conservative than me. In fact, before I went to college, my mother was Miss Republican of California for a while.
Right.
And it just sort of bred into me. But on the other hand, Zenith News has a model that we cover both sides of every major story. And we do. And that's how we stayed on Twitter and never had a problem. Because first and foremost, we're very respectful.
Right.
And with regard to people's opinions, we embrace everyone's opinions. You can see the rainbow banner on our website. You can see the Jewish yes. star, and you can see the American flag. Well, I grew up in a period of time when the GOP was called the Big Tent, and everybody would be able to find room in it.
Right.
It's just a problem that some people in the Big Tent started streaming out the doors. So we have to open up our doors again and let people back in, and make sure that people who are considering an alternative to the Democrat Party realize that they're accepted in our tent. And that's something that Zenith News tries to do all the time. We don't just present hardcore conservative news reporting about conservative issues and conservative politicians. We present variety entertainment and other yeah. entertainment venues. And people write to me, what are you doing this for? Why would you cover a movie star? Well, I tell you what, I love to go to the movies. I don't care if they're a bunch of left-wingers.
Charles, where can people check out Zenith News if they've not been there before?
Just go to zenith.news on the internet. It's Zenith, Z-E-N-I-T-H, which is a word meaning the high spot or the apogee of whatever subject you have. And zenith.news is an old, it's a new top-level domain like .com or .net. And register, and you'll enjoy all the options that are available to you, like saving your articles for research. And we call ourselves a streaming news network, and we have a constant flow of news in front of your face, unlike Drudge, which lets articles sit for 2, 3, and even sometimes 4 days in a row. You hardly see a news article on Zenith News that's over an hour old.
Oh, wow. All right. And Ed, where can we purchase your book?
You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, any of these places. You can buy them online. You can Google it. You'll find all kinds of different places that sell the book. And it's Escape from Uncle Sam's Plantation. And it's got three different versions. Even on Apple, you have the Kindle version or the digital version. You have the hardback and the paperback.
Okay, well, fantastic. And Charles, thanks for stopping by. It was a really interesting interview. Really talk about school choice and for us to really think about no government involvement in education, what will happen. And it's something that we should have more dialogue about.
I'll be happy to talk with you, Neil. And Ed, thank you again for your invitation, and I enjoyed the experience.
Thank you. We did too. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. All right, guys, that was the School Choice Show. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley's Author's Corner segment, Miami Book Fair. Now it feels like we're getting closer to Miami. Once we start seeing frost on the grass in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the Northeast, and we start getting cold, and we're getting ready to grab our jackets, and trick-or-treating is soon in the air, we know we're getting closer and closer to Miami. And and this guy has been to Miami, been involved in the Miami Book Fair for longer than I have. It's my 10th year. And we'll be, again, broadcasting live with the Miami Book Fair in my studios and also Eric Remmel's studios in Tampa, Florida, on the Sunday, the 24th of November. And I'm excited to welcome the program. But remember, the book fair is 17th to 24th, street fair to 22nd to 24th of November. Go visit miamibookfair.com, and I'm excited to welcome the program. And when we were talking off air, I was like pretty impressed how many book fairs Tim has been. Tim Dorsey, thanks for calling. And how many book fairs again is it?
I believe it's 20 at least.
Wow. And what makes, you know, not many people get the opportunity to do this many times. How you have to really think you're one of the very successful, lucky ones that have gotten to attend so many times as an author.
It's been great. And I would just go as a reader. It's such a fantastic event. I mean, the street fair and, you know, it's just, it's probably the best in the country.
So you must crank out books like nothing then, right, Tim? How are you able to do that? Yeah.
It's not necessarily nothing, but because it's a little blood, sweat, and tears. But if you can do one a year, then you get to go to the Miami Book Fair one a year. So that's kind of that's kind of my incentive, is to get a book out. So, you know, that's the whole purpose, is Tim, so I can go to the Miami Book Fair.
Tim, that's very impressive. Trust me. That's very impressive to crank out one a year when a lot of authors like, I'm working on my book. It'd take me 3 or 4 years to the next one. That's not you at all.
No, I got a bit of bills.
So it's definitely not you. And so that's in a lot of ways that you have to be disciplined as a writer. So a tip for writers before we get to your latest book, a tip for writers, Tim, what would you say it is to be able to publish a book every year? How do you have to be structured and creativity and everything in between to be able to ready to write again?
Well, this might be unorthodox. Write down all your thoughts. In other words, don't say I'm going to remember it later. You know, grab a napkin or whatever. And so, you know, while you're you finished a book and you're touring and you're doing other things, get all your notes collected put them in your computer you always have to be thinking. I remember Jerry Seinfeld episode where he was falling asleep and the next morning he couldn't remember the joke that he had because he didn't write it down. And he said, it was the best joke in the world and I'll never get it back. So that's what you got to do is, because everybody has thoughts of something. I mean, that would be actually authentically fantastic in a book or a movie, but they don't write it down. Well, I make sure, even if I just have to, if I have nothing to write with, I'll grab my cell phone and like email me myself a message on the topic.
That's great. And there you go. And you just come up with some ideas and roll with it. So let's talk about your latest book, and your latest book, No Sunscreen for the Dead. Tim, tell us about that.
Well, it was, it's basically, this one, is about retirement in Florida, because I was trying to think, what is Florida known for? And one of them is,
big time, yeah.
Is senior citizens and retirees. And I was lucky enough that, my grandparents retired near, where I was working a long time ago. And I visited,
have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio. The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.